Be'ezus Hashem, we're beginning the parasha of this week. Parasha's Vayigash. Today's date is the third of the month of Tevis, Tavshin Ayin Tes, corresponding with the English calendar, December 10th, 2018. Parasha's Vayigash, in a certain similar way, is that parasha that falls out in the week of Hanukkah. That means to say it's Sunday and Monday was part of the week of Hanukkah, which is in Parshas Vayigash. And I wanted to allude certain messages from the parsha that would be directly connected to the holiday of Hanukkah. Before we do that, I believe it's important to know the story quite well. The story of Parsha Vayigash is probably one of the most dramatic stories in the entire Chumash. It's a story where Yosef told one of his servants to plant his goblet, his silver goblet that he claimed was magical, in the sack of Binyamin, and later accuse the brothers of stealing the cup and having the servant start from the oldest to the youngest, so not to give the impression that he knew it, where it was. It got the brothers extremely, extremely nervous, and put it this way, they were definitely shocked to discover that the cup was in Binyamin's bag. We all know that Yehuda promised to bring back Binyamin without any difficulty. He made a vow that should he not bring back Binyamin, then he would lose everything, which we know it meant Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. So powerful was that vow that even though that we know at the end of the day he fulfilled his promise, but his body was rattling after he passed away many years later, his body was still rattling in the coffin until Moshe Rabbeinu had to calm it down, because of the severe impact of a vow. We know as the story continues, Yosef accused them of stealing, and he put them all first in jail. Then afterwards he said, one of you will remain with me, the rest of you can go home, but you must prove your innocence, because he accused them of being spies. And the only way he'll believe them and it'll exonerate them from being meraglim, spies, if you bring Binyamin back. We know this was all part of his major plan of wanting to have both dreams fulfilled. The first dream that he dreamt was the 11 bundles bowing down to him, and he was missing Binyamin to fulfill that dream. So Binyamin had to be brought. And in the meantime, he wanted to get his brothers nervous enough to want to do tshuva on the fact that they kidnapped him, sold him, nearly killed him to Yishma'elim, the various Arab groups, and he finally ended up in Egypt. The situation is extremely tense, and Yehuda steps forward and presents his case that we're not just dealing with taking a child and calling him now a slave, but you could have taken him away from Yaakov, which will cause Yaakov to die. He was extremely attached. Let's look at the words where the Torah tells us this part of the story. He's in Pasuk. Let's begin in Pasuk Yutes, page 250 in the Art Scroll, where Yehuda is presenting his case. He's explaining how this all happened, that Binyamin ended up here. He says, Adoni Shaal, my master asked, as avod of his servants, Lemo, Hayesh lechem ov ayach, is there to you a father or a brother? Vanoma el Adoni, yesh lanu ov zoken, we have an old father, v'yelez zukunim katon, and a yelez of his old age, who was young, v'ochiv meis, and his brother died, v'yivatsehu levadai le'imai, and he is the only one that remains to his mother, va'aviv ahevoi, and the father loves him. Toima el avodecha hayviduhu eloi. So you said to your servants, bring him down to me, va'asima eini olav, and I will place my eye upon him. And we answered, v'daima el adoni, and we responded, lo yuchal anal azav es aviv. He's not capable of leaving his father. If he leaves his father, he'll die. Vatome el avadecha, and you responded to your servants and saying, if you do not bring down your brother, your younger brother with you, lo so sifun liros ponoi, you shall not see continue to see my face. You will therefore be banned from coming back to get food. You're not to return. So this is the first thing, how he's repeating the story. And as he continues on, he's explaining that father asked him to come back to Mitzrayim to buy food, so we can't come back without Binyamin. And finally, at the end, I took responsibility, of who they're saying. And what will happen? Let's look at Pasuk Lamed. And it shall be when your servant, when I will return back to your servant, which is my father, and the child is not with us, einenu itanu, is not with us, v'nafshei kishura v'nafshei, and his soul is bound with his soul. And as the story continues, this tremendous, this difficult discussion going back and forth, the Medrash goes into detail how Yehuda was beginning to get very angry, and Yosef notices his anger, and without going into too much, Yehuda commanded his other brothers to go ahead and count the marketplaces in Mitzrayim, and over there was Naphtali, who was able to run and find out how many marketplaces there were. And as we know, he said there are 12 marketplaces, there are 10 of us. Okay, Yehuda says, each one take one, and I will take three. At that point in time, Yosef knew this was the end, and he had to reveal himself. And therefore, what happened was, as the Torah tells us over here, finally, on page 252, Yosef could not hold himself back before all of those were standing by him, and he called out, Hotziu, kol Yishmaeloi, all of the men here are standing in my chambers, leave my chambers. V'la'omad ish itai, no one should stand by him or with him. Be'ezvada Yosef el echov. When Yosef announced his true identity to his brothers. And at that time, the Pasuk continues on Pasuk Beis. V'yitin es kolei bifchi, he raised his voice with a crying sound, Vayishmu Mitzrayim Vayishmu Beis Paroi, and they can hear it in the house of Paroi, this cry, and Vayomi Yosef El Echov, and Yosef says to his brothers, Ani Yosef! I am Yosef, Ha'od Avichai, his father is still alive, Vayachu Echov Anos also, his brothers could not answer him, Kinevhalu Miponav, because they were confounded from his face. They were shocked. It's like a car running into a brick wall, going 100 kilometers in one direction, and there's a whiplash effect, and the smashing impact is incredible. This is how they felt. They were speechless. They're literally speechless. The point, what I wanted to bring out over here is in what part of this story, in what part of it, is there any connection to the story of Hanukkah? And I thought that there is some kind of very powerful connection. And that is, when the Torah talks about Yelid Zakunim, when my Rebbe, Pedro Keller, Shlita, in his Sefer Kedeko, brings out, I'm going to tell you the two Pesukim I'd like you to look at. The Pesuk, for example, Pesuk Lamed, it says over here, V'nafsho Kishura V'nafsho, and his soul is tied, is bound to his soul. On page 250, right near the word sheni.
Yeah, v'nafshei.
V'nafshei kashura v'nafshei, and his soul is bound to his soul. The Baal HaTurim says the word kashura. I mean, in what way is it bound? Is it totally an emotional bind?
Where's that? Right here.
Here, the bottom of the page. Kishura benafsho. So the Baal HaTurim says on the word kishura, is the word kishura is referring to Bigamatria Torah. If you take the numerical value of the word kishura, kuf is 100, shin is 300, vav is 6. That's 306. Race is 200.
506. Right.
Huh?
506.
It's six.
I thought I was adding the numbers three, you were saying.
Three.
Kuf is 100.
100.
Shin is 300.
Right. Tuf is 400.
It's 400 already.
It's 400. 400. And race is 200.
It's 600.
So where is the 13?
It's not 13. It's 200. It's 611. Okay. Again, kuf shin vav resh hey. Kuf is 100. Shin is 300.
400 so far.
Huh?
It's 400. And 200 is 600.
600. Then you have vav is 6.
Yeah.
And hey is, it makes it 11. 211. Kishur is 11.
611.
611. The word Torah adds up to 611. Torah, the same idea. Tav is 400, Resh is 600, Vav is 600 and 6. And the attachment that Yaakov had with Binyamin was intense. It was through Torah. What Torah are we referring to?
Binyamin Yaakov.
Huh?
Binyamin and Yaakov.
Yes.
Binyamin and Yaakov.
Yeah, okay.
Binyamin and Yaakov were very attached to each other. Right. And there is another alludes and another balaturim on the word going back to pasuk chaf. It says v'yelid zukunim katan, and this young child who was born to his old age. But the word zakunim is missing a vav. So it's referring, you can read the word v'yelid zakunim, right, as the word zakenim. He taught him all of the Torah from the elders such as Shem and Aver. Shem and Aver, that Yaakov learned all the Torah from Shem and Aver,
the yeshiva.
In the yeshiva Shem and Aver, he taught it to Binyamin. So the relationship with Yaakov and Binyamin was a relationship of Torah that was intense. An intense relationship. This relationship, if had that been broken, this would have caused Yaakov to die. Because this relationship was extremely close. There is a halacha, brought down in the Rambam, as it brought down in my Rabbi Sefer and Sefer Chidekel, that the Rambam writes, by the laws of Hilchus Rotzeach, the laws of someone accidentally killing another Jew, in Perek Zayim, halacha Aleph, that if a Talmud is exiled to Orei Miklat, the Rebbe has to go also. Mm-hmm. Because we say the Torah is v'chai behem, the Torah is for you to live by. And if the Talmud, who is attached to the Rebbe, has to go to Galus, the Rebbe has to go with him. And vice versa, if the Rebbe accidentally, God forbid, kills somebody accidentally, then the yeshiva, yeah, the yeshiva has to go to Galus. So this is a new understanding of the relationship we have, where Torah plays a dominant part over here.
Why isn't there a reference with Joseph and Jacob? I mean, they were extremely close also, and he couldn't accept his absence. So why wouldn't the Torah mention that relationship?
But that relationship is mentioned before in Parshas Vayeshev, where also he's called, it's brought down, he was a ben zakunim, the same idea, the exact same thing. In Parshas Vayeshev, you can look in the Perek Lamed Zayin, you go back a drop, the same language, and Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Gimel, if you roll back a drop, the same wording, it says over here,
what page? 199?
On 198, Israel, Ahavis Yosef Mikol Bona, he loved Yosef more than all of his sons, Kiven Zakunim Hulo, because he was a son of his old age. And again, the word Zakunim is not spelled with a vav, it's missing a vav. And again, the Bala Turim explains over here that this was alluded to the fact that he taught him all of the knowledge. He was extremely attached to the Torah. This is what, and this, if you think about the story, that if you think that the story what took place over here with now Yosef and the brothers in Vayigash, this was one of the central motivating things that got Yehuda extremely concerned, because he vowed to bring Binyamin back, because Binyamin was extremely attached to his father, and like I explained just now, he was attached through the Torah learning, and he could not part from that. This is what we see from over here. So much so, after Yosef. So what I'm trying to bring out over here, that so for the story surrounding Yosef and the brothers, where Binyamin is the central, this where the Binyamin is the central person being spoken about here, because we have to save Binyamin, right? It's all it's all about Torah.
My glasses fell.
It's all about Torah. Now we know, we're going to fast forward the story to bring out another very extremely important point about how central is the Torah learning is taking place over here in the story. I just pointed out how Binyamin seems to be a minor pawn on the board, which is not true. Binyamin was a major part of the story, because had Binyamin not been as close as we discussed, then this whole scenario wouldn't have unfolded. Now we know the end of the story. Yosef revealed himself, told his brothers to go back to Yaakov and to go ahead and reveal the secret that Yosef is alive and he's a viceroy in Mitzrayim, and Baruch Hashem, he's alive and well. When Yaakov heard about that, he wasn't prepared to believe it right away. Now, maybe he was able to say, maybe he could possibly been alive, but how could you possibly be spiritually alive in the worst place in the world, that was saturated with idolatry, that was saturated with witchcraft,
and yet still
that saturated with immorality, and how could he still be alive? So maybe his body, he eats and walks and he talks and that part of his body that's alive, that's not the Yosef I knew. And where do we see this whole discussion? If you could turn back up, let's turn to page 260. One moment, I hope I have the right. One second. Hold it. Okay, here we go. I apologize. We're going to go to page 256. On 256, you have to turn to Pasuk Chav Zayin. Vayidabu Eilav is called Divra Yosef Ashidibra Alehem. And they spoke to Yaakov of all the words of Yosef that he spoke to them. Bayaris Argolois Ashisholach Yosef Loseis Oso. And Yaakov saw the wagons that were brought to carry him. Once he saw that, Vatechivuach Yaakov Aviyah. And the spirit of Yaakov became alive. Vayomer Yisrael, and Yisrael said, Rav, O Yosef b'ni choi. Oh, I see, Yosef is still alive. Elcha ve'avenu b'terem amos. I will go and see him before I die.
What's the siman here?
Siman is the agolos. Because the last Devar Torah, the very last of our Torah that the two discussed before Yosef disappeared was the Devar Torah that had to do with Egla Arufa. Egla Arufa are the law of necking a calf when there is a doubt between there was a dead man that was found between two cities, and both cities are being questioned, where did the murderer come from? So they have to measure how close the corpse is from one of the two cities. When they measure and see one of the two cities was closer to the corpse, then they have to take an ego. It's the laws that we name the laws Egla Arufa, because the animal is necked, is killed, And the Talmid HaChachamim have to wash their hands on it, and they have to say, we are innocent, we did not see the person leave our city, we didn't let him go without food and drink, we are innocent, and we wash our hands over this egla, this calf that was killed right now, and it should be an atonement for the city. The word egla is ayin gimel lamed hay. And the word agola is also, agola means a wagon, is also spelled, is spelled ayin gimel lamed hay. When Yaakov Avinu saw the agolos, the wagon that was supposed to take him to Mitzrayim, he said, Yosef has given him a hint that he's still a Ben Torah. He's still learning Torah. He's still involved with Torah. That after 22 years of separation, he can still remember the Devar Torah that he learned 22 years ago.
About the Agala.
About the Egla.
About the wagon being the Egla.
The Egla. But being that there was an allusion to the word Egla, a calf, because the word Egla and Agola are the same word letters that spell the same
word.
Thing.
Yeah.
Agola and that.
Same letters, the vowels are
so different. Look what happened. He saw what put life into Yaakov. Was not that they all reported that Yosef is alive.
The message from Yosef.
The message of Yosef was that my neshama is alive.
Right.
Even in the worst place on earth, my neshama is still alive. And Torah maintained his life. And he brought up Ephraim and Manasseh with being B'nai Torah. And he spoke Hebrew. And he observed the Torah as much as he was taught from his father's house. Now we'll take it.
It's almost the same age, both of them.
Now we'll take it as. Now, what do we see from over here? What brings life, what maintains life, is the Torah of a person that he learned from his father or from his Rebbe. Now, this is the thing, this was the climax of the story of Yosef, where Yaakov Avinu finally stopped mourning after 22 years.
Yeah.
What's the next interesting episode? Okay, the next. Let's go to page 260. He sends Yehuda. Remember, there was a plan. We have to move Yaakov and his family to Mitzrayim.
Yeah.
Yaakov and the family has to go to Mitzrayim. To Mitzrayim? A place of idolatry? How was he going to allow that? Yet, he wanted to see his son. On top of that, Hashem promised him, don't you worry, I will be with you. I want you to go down to Mitzrayim, and I will bless you with tremendous, tremendous children, with amount of children. You will be very, you will be very fruitful, and your children will grow, and you'll be tremendously successful in Mitzrayim. And he assured him that everything will go well. And the Torah tells us that Hashem appeared to him right after all this took place. And to hear what Hashem said, let's just look at the bottom of the page of 256, where it says, "Vayomer Elokim Yisrael b'maris halayla," right after he saw the wagons, and his whole life became enlivened again. Then now Hashem finally, after 22 years, appears Baruch HaKodesh, and he speaks to him. Vayomer Elokim Yisrael b'maris halayla, vayomer Yaakov, Yaakov, vayomer hineni. He responds, here I am, Hashem. Turn the page, please. Vayomer Anochi Okel, I am Hashem, Elokei Avicha, the God of your father. Altira, do not fear. Merda Mitzrayma, I'm going down to Egypt. Kila Gai Godel Asim Chasham, I will make you a great nation there. Anochi Eredim Chasham Mitzrayma, I will go down with you to Egypt. V'nochi alcha gam alo, and I also will bring you up. V'yosef yoshis yado al einecha, and Yosef will place his hand, meaning will support you. He will place his hand on your eyes, and he will support you. Now, what did Yaakov do? Hashem promised him. So guess what? The first thing Yaakov did, he sent Yehuda ahead. In Pasuk Chavches, that's Shishi on page 260, Ve'es Yehuda Shalach Lefanav El Yosef. And Yehuda, he had sent before him, right, to go to Yosef. Why? Horos Lefanav Goshna. To the word Lahoros, that literally means to teach, right? But it doesn't mean this here. It means to set up a place of learning in the place of Goshen. All right? This is what Rashi brings out this down over here. And Rashi says, Medrash Agoda, Lahoros Lefanav means Lesakin Lo Beis Talmud, Shemesham Teitzai Roa. Set up a yeshiva. Set up a place for learning that will take place in Mitzrayim. Again, you want to preserve the Jewish people. You want to preserve the Jewish people. You can preserve the Jewish people only with Torah learning. The parsha started off where the whole scenario started off with Binyamin being the focal point of the tension between Yehuda and Yosef. It concludes with Yaakov finally agreeing that Yosef was discovered and is alive, not physically alive, but spiritually alive. And then Hashem appeared to Yaakov with Ruach HaKodesh that I will be with you. And Yaakov continues on to push the message that in order to preserve the Jewish people, you must have Torah. Therefore, Ves Yehuda Shalach Lefanav Yosef Lahoros Lefanav Goshna. He sent him to go and set up a yeshiva. I felt these two points, this area of the parsha, being in Parshas VaYigash, and Yigash also very often comes out in the week of Hanukkah, is so apropos to the message of Hanukkah. The message of Hanukkah is to understand that there were the adversaries against the Jewish people, but it wasn't the Greeks against the Jews. It was the Greeks against the Torah. They couldn't care if you wore a kippah. They just didn't want you to observe. They wanted you to adopt Greek culture, Greek religion, Greek and enjoy Greek entertainment, wear Greek clothing, enjoy Greek food and so forth. They want you to turn Greek. It was a war of the Greeks against the Torah. The story of Hanukkah is the story where the Torah won. Where the Torah won with the miracle. With the miracle of Hanukkah, where the Jewish people saw where Hashem has not given up on them, Hashem still was with them and showed them that He was close to them, even though there were many Jewish people who abandoned Yiddishkeit, abandoned Judaism. And Hashem, through the miracle of Hanukkah, brought that message out. There is a famous, I think it's a pasuk, so I'm saying it with a question mark. We say, Ma'at min ha'or, docha harbe min ha'choshach. A little bit of light has the power to push away an enormous amount of darkness. But we know there is another statement, and I believe it's a pasuk. That near mitzvah, the Torah or. A mitzvah is compared to a candle. But Torah? is like a brilliant light, like a giant fire. Now let's stop and analyze that. Take a candle, put it in a dark room. Physically, it can save you from getting hurt, from bumping into the wall, into any obstacle, right? Because it illuminates your way. The same way a candle illuminates you physically, right? The candle of Hanukkah illuminated the Jewish people spiritually to make them aware that just like a candle sheds light, the same thing is becoming aware that Hashem is all around us. Hashem is all around us. Because they came to the realization, we all know the famous question, why was there 8 days of Hanukkah? It should have been 7 days. Because one day it could have burned. Because when they lit the first candle, they will become aware that even for oil to burn is also a miracle. So what did the candle accomplish? What did the light of the menorah accomplish? It made people aware. It illuminated the darkness in the people's minds that Hashem is everywhere. Until then, they were ignorant. What did the light do? It made people aware that Hashem is all around them. Just like you take a physical candle, a physical flame, you become aware that there are obstacles around you because you see, right? With the aura of Hanukkah, you became aware, right, that Hashem is all around us, not just sometimes, but he's really everywhere. Why does the oil burn? It's also miraculous, and they became aware of that. Mm-hmm. In other words, the little bit of light chased away a tremendous amount of ignorance. When a person doesn't understand something, and then you explain it to him, you know what he says? Oh, now I see what you mean. Do you really mean you see or you understand? What happens is you became aware when someone explains something difficult to you. That one little flame made us aware of all of the world around us is full of miracles. So then if that's the case, what could then the Or HaTorah do? If one mitzvah that's compared to a candle is able to illuminate our neshama to chase away the ignorance that we lived so many years with, what could the Or HaTorah do to our neshama? It could illuminate our neshama to a tremendous degree. The more Torah we learn, the more illumination we have. And this is why I feel that the Parshas Vayigash is very attached to the story of Hanukkah. Because what happened over here was Yaakov got to see the Torah of Yosef still alive. Not his body was alive. Yosef's neshama was still alive through the Torah that he learned. And the Torah protected him through all of these 22 years. And this is, in a certain way, a hidden message that comes out to the story of Yosef and the brothers, which is really what is an underlining message, how Torah could protect the person, how Torah maintained Binyamin, how Torah maintained Yosef, and therefore how Torah continues to maintain the Jewish people in Mitzrayim. And we're all familiar with the story of Rabbi Akiva, where Rabbi Akiva was living in the time of where the Romans that were persecuting the Jewish people, and he wasn't supposed to learn and teach Torah, right? We all are, we were aware of that. And they asked him, how could you be teaching Torah by Rabin? And he says, it's impossible. I, you know, I, I can't survive without her. You take a fish out of water, right? The fish will die. I can't survive without her. We have to realize that the blessing of the Jewish people comes through learning of Torah. It protects them, it maintains them, it insulates them. This is what happened in the story of Yosef and the brothers. What insulated Yosef all of the 22 years was the fact that he maintained his Torah learning. He didn't separate himself from Torah, and he was able to bring that message to his father Yaakov throughout the whole time. He was able to tell that to his father through the hint of the agolos, the wagons. And Yaakov doesn't let up. He sends Yehuda to Goshen to set up a yeshiva. Why? Because if you set up a yeshiva to learn Torah, that will insulate the Jewish people, and that will maintain the Jewish people's security, and they will be protected from the harsh elements of the Egyptians. It's interesting to note that when the Jewish people left Goshen, left that city, and they spread out all over Egypt, as it says in the beginning of Shemos, then it says, "Vayakom Melech Hadash." All of a sudden, a new king rose. Paro either acted differently, or there was a new Paro, and all of a sudden, the Jewish people started to get persecuted. Why? Because they left Goshen, and they left the insulation of the yeshiva, the insulation of the Torah. So we see
that would protect them from the inside.
No, I understand, but that the point I'm trying to bring out over here is
that spiritually
they were protected from emotion by being together and maintaining their identity. And we have to know that there's no safer, secure safeguard to every Jew other than learning Torah and following the mitzvahs. And kinir mitzvah, the Torah, or every mitzvah is like a candle, and it illuminates the neshama. It brings out the beauty of living as a Jew. But there is no comparison to learning of Torah, because that is like a fire that warms the neshama and radiates in a way that protects him, insulates him, and promises him bracha v'atzlocha. Have a wonderful week. Okay.